قائما على رأس الغلام وهو يفحص برجليه، بل حسين عليه السلام يقول: بعدا لقوم قتلوك.
Assalamu alaikum and welcome to the Islamic Pulse Talk Show. Since the blessed month of Muharram and Safar are close by, we decided to do a quick talk show before the blessed month of Muharram begins. Of course, as all of you know, the month of Muharram on the 10th of Ashura is the day when the third divinely appointed Imam, Imam Hussein ibn Ali alayhi salam, was martyred. Countless millions all across the world mourn on this day and they commemorate this day of the martyrdom of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. So to start this discussion, just a few days before the month of Muharram, we decided to invite Sheikh Ali Qumi to come and discuss with us some issues and matters revolving around Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Let's go ahead and invite him and start the talk show. Sheikh Ali Qumi, assalamu alaikum and welcome to the Islamic Pulse talk show.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thank you.
So, Sheikh Ali Qumi, we decided to invite you, of course, from your busy schedule. In just a few days, the first of Muharram is around the corner. And, of course, on the 10th of Muharram is when countless millions across the world, they commemorate the martyrdom of the third divinely appointed Imam, the grandson of the Holy Prophet, Imam Hussein, alayhi salam. And so before we got into the whole month of Muharram, we wanted to discuss some of these things around the divine personality of Imam Hussein, alayhi salam. It's similar to the holy month of Ramadan, right, where we don't fast up till the first of Ramadan, and then it's quite shocking. And by the time you realize, you know, that the month of Ramadan is here and what kind of spiritual, mental state we should be in, the month of Ramadan ends. And so with this intention, we decided that before the first of Muharram comes around, we do a little bit of a talk show, discuss some of these issues so that we are mentally, spiritually, psychologically, emotionally prepared for the holy month. With that introduction, I hand it over to you in the name of Allah.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitani la'in ar-rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu ala al-Husayn wa ala Ali ibn al-Husayn wa ala awlad al-Husayn wa ala ashab al-Husayn. Jazakumullah khair for hosting such a talk show in such a time that we're approaching the month of Muharram, the month of sacrifice, the month of greatness and establishment of the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the month of Imam Hussein alayhi salam and the Prophet and his family, Prophet's family, giving sacrifice for Islam to safeguard Islam. So this is definitely a blessing that we're discussing the topic of the month of Muharram and the sacrifice of Imam Hussein alayhi salam before Muharram. Yes. Since we were born, we've been witnessing every year, we've been witnessing the month of Muharram, the month of Safar, and we've been commemorating it. For the most part, all of the viewers who are watching us and including ourselves, you know, maybe the reverts, you know, they missed out on the first few years of their lives and now they are also commemorating it. But yes, if you notice throughout the world, it's not just Muslims who are commemorating Imam Hussein alayhi salam.
Right.
Even non-Muslims are commemorating, right? Everybody, based on their own understanding of who Imam Hussein alayhi salam was and what his movement signified. So, you know, I would like to today kind of open up the discussion by discussing the reasons behind or why Imam Hussein alayhi salam did what he did. Right, sure. Because one of the approaches towards Muharram and Safar and Imam Hussein alayhi salam is that he was somehow, you know, taken to the lands of Karbala where he didn't know what he was going into and getting into, and then he got stuck there, and then, you know, Imam Hussein alayhi salam, his family and his companions, they had to go through what we hear every year, they went through. Well, this is
even to an extent where some people will say that he would have escaped if he had been given the opportunity, but he wasn't given the opportunity to escape, and so he ended up being killed.
Now, this is contrary to what the reality is, right? Imam Hussein alayhi salam, knowingly, he had full knowledge of what is going on in the Islamic world. He had full knowledge of what the enemies are wanting from him. He had full knowledge of where he was at the time when he launched his uprising, and he left Mecca, right? Mecca is the safe haven for Muslims, right? He was there for Hajj, and he left Mecca, took off his ihram, and then he launched his uprising. And if you look at the khutbat of Imam Hussein alayhi salam and the sermons that he gave before he left Mecca towards Karbala, you see that he is inviting others to join him. He's writing, even writing letters to those who are not in Mecca at that time to come and join him. So Imam Hussein alayhi salam knew exactly what he was doing, and he knew what he was getting into, right? So this whole idea of that he didn't know, and you know, somehow he ended up in Karbala where he was forced and he was not given water, and then you know they were forced into fighting, this is untrue. Now, you know, when we talk about why in the world did Imam Hussein alayhi salam launch his uprising, I think this is something we should all be focused on before we hit the month of Muharram.
Right, the reasons for his movement, why he decided to take a stand despite all of the odds that were against him.
Exactly. You know, to your previous point, you know, Yemen was, you know, the people of Yemen, they were the followers of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wasalam predominantly. So it was another safe haven where Imam Hussein alayhi salam could have gone. And then if you look at Mecca itself and Medina, Imam Hussein alayhi salam is well respected, being the grandson of the Holy Prophet, right? But he decides to go towards Kufa, and he decides to go through Karbala. So this was all very calibrated and planned. The reasons behind his uprising is what we want to kind of discuss next is, I think if the best way to understand why Imam Hussein alayhi salam did what he did is to ask Imam Hussein alayhi salam himself. Right? When you look at his sermons, when you ask him, Imam, why are you doing the uprising? He's saying, for the sake of Amr bil Ma'roof and Nahi anil Munkar. Right? And also to rectify the ummah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is Imam Hussein himself telling you. You know, the best person to explain what he's doing is the person himself.
The one who's doing this,
What is your motive behind it? So when you look at Imam Hussein alayhi salam, it's very clear, right? Then another place Imam Hussein alayhi salam is found to be saying, "Mithli la yubayyu misla." Someone like me will never pledge allegiance to someone like Yazid. So Imam Hussein alayhi salam, he is detailing the motive behind his movement. We don't need to do the guesswork, or we don't really necessarily need to
put,
do the
put words in his mouth.
Exactly. So, you know, Imam Hussein alayhi salam is saying that there is a unholy governance, a non-divine governance that is in place, unfortunately. And I am the one who is going to reject that unholy and non-divine governance. That is the governance of Yazid. Yazid ibn Muawiyah, right, from Banu Umayyah. Imam Hussein alayhi salam is saying, no, this earth belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah has sent a divine system for this earth, for the betterment of humanity. That needs to be implemented, not the system of Muawiyah, not the system of Yazid, not the system of Banu Umayyah. So Imam Hussein alayhi salam says that since this is being done, I have no choice but to do the uprising. And this is a very clear message for every believer out there. Doesn't matter which orientation you belong to, doesn't matter which group you belong to, doesn't matter which Islamic center you go to, doesn't matter which country you come from. If you are a Husseini, this is a message for you from Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Mithli la yubayyu mithla. That someone like me will never pledge allegiance to someone like him. Imam Hussein alayhi salam, by the way, did not say that I won't pledge allegiance. He said, someone like me, anybody who claims to be my follower, in other words, anybody who claims to be walking in my footsteps, they have no choice of following someone like Yazid or being subservient to someone like Yazid or to live under the system established by Yazid.
So Sheikh, I mean, are you saying here that the event of Karbala is not limited to Imam Hussein's age, it is also applicable to today's age? And I mean, I want you to talk a little bit about that. Is this being applicable to today's age? One of the things that, for example, not only the youth kind of gets stuck in, but the scholars who deliver on the pulpit and the minbar, they also get stuck on this. They have a tendency to limit Imam Hussein alayhi salam and his movement and his cause and his sacrifice and his martyrdom, right, to over 1,000 years ago. And they don't bother to bring it to today, even though it seems like this is what you are doing right now. It's because you said, instead of him saying that one, you know, instead of saying, I will not pay allegiance to him, he's saying one like me throughout the ages cannot pay allegiance to one like him throughout the ages.
Yeah, like you rightly said, right? It's not us who are saying this. It's the infallibles themselves. It's the right. Quran itself, which is teaching us that. When Quran says that the Prophet is your role model, what is it saying? Is it saying it to the people who are living in the time of Prophet, or is he a role model for all the generations to come?
He's a role model for all the generations to
That's
come.
That's Quran, right?
It's Uswatun Hasanah.
And then when you look at the teachings of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wasalam, when you look at the teachings of Imams, right, every single thing that they were saying to their companions and people that they were addressing, which were right there in front of them, yeah, all those things in the forms of ahadith have made it to us. We read those ahadith and we follow them, right?
Right.
Let it be prayers, let it be psalm, let it be zakat, let it be jihad, let it be anything, right? All of those ahadith apply to us as well.
Right.
Islam is not confined to a zaman or a makan.
Time. Or a specific place.
Right? This is not what Islam is. Right. Islam is for generations to come.
For eternity.
Ila yawmul qiyamah.
Right? Until the day of judgment.
Now, you pick up, to answer your question, you pick up Ziyarat Ashura. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. What do you say? Inni silmun liman salamakum wa harbun liman harabakum.
Yeah, I am at peace with those who are at peace.
We're at peace with you, and I'm at war with those who are at war with you. Who are you telling it to? You're not in 61 after Hijra.
Yeah.
So what are you saying?
Yeah, so these, what's the point of being at war with somebody who's 6 feet under the ground?
Exactly. And that too, not to be found.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Anymore. They're decayed. They're just gone. Nobody even knows where their graves are.
Yeah.
Right? So we have to understand the spirit of Islam. The spirit of Islam is that we believe in a living religion. We believe in a living Imam. We believe in the Hussein of today. Imam Zaman alayhi salam, Imam Mahdi ajalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif is the Hussein of today.
Right.
He is the Imam of the time. He is the Wali of the time. Right? So if we're saying in Ziyarat Ashura, Inni silmun liman salamakum wa harbun liman harabakum, we better be faithful to our words.
Sure.
Right? So this whole interpretation, which unfortunately is correct, what you said, Sayyid, a while ago, it is correct that some people are stuck in history, intentionally or unintentionally. You know, maybe that's how they've traditionally seen it happen, so they're just stuck there too. Imam Hussein alayhi salam is just a, you know, legend that lived, you know, in 61 after Hijra, and then, you know, that's it, that's where it ends. No, the movement of Imam Hussein alayhi salam continued. Because if the rest of the Imams were to take this assumption and this supposition, they should have left Imam Hussein alayhi salam's movement in 61 Hijra,
right,
and wouldn't feel the need to do anything.
Right.
It is a continuous movement, right? It never stopped. It didn't stop in the time of Imam Sajjad alayhi salam. It did not stop in the time of Imam Baqir alayhi salam. It did not stop in the time of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. It did not stop in the time of Imam Qasim alayhi salam and the rest of the Imams. Sure. Why in the world would it stop after the occultation of Imam Zaman alayhi salam? Who give anyone the license and authority to stop it, to seize this movement against injustice, this movement against tyranny, this movement against oppression? Right, this movement against non-divine governments.
Right,
and who stopped it, and when stopped
and
it?
And this is what I was going to ask you, because as you were going towards the ends of the imams, you know, my next question was going to be this. Well, okay, so does this Husseini movement, this Husseini mission, end with the occultation of the 12th Imam. You know, so for example, a very famous statement by Imam Khomeini, which is actually a tradition, that the ulama are the inheritors of the Anbiya, right? This tradition. So in that sense too, the ulama is this continuation even after the occultation.
Yes.
I want to take this equation and move it here to the Husseini movement. Is the Husseini movement is also continued, or let me put it as a question, is it continued in the present day? And if so, in what manifestation has this Husseini movement continued through?
See, we never believed that Imam Hussein alayhi salam's movement, which is the movement of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Imam Ali alayhi salam and all the divine prophets before Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is the continuation of that same divine movement, right?
Yes.
We believe that it never stopped.
Of course.
We the followers of Ahlul Bayt alayhi wa sallam, we believe that it never stopped and it will never stop till the Day of Judgment. Mm-hmm. It will continue. The believers in all ages will actually be part of this movement.
Sure.
And they are part of this movement. Sometimes we just don't realize that we are part of that movement.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right? And this realization, since we are having this talk show before the month of Muharram, this realization is what the purpose of this Muharram is that we witness every year.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This realization.
Yeah.
That we are part of that Husseini movement. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam has already taught us years and decades after Imam Hussein alayhi salam that we are at war with those. Again, who was Imam Sadiq alayhi salam at war with?
Yeah, apparently. Yeah.
Yazid was dead by that time.
Right.
Who was he at war with? What is he teaching to his students and
schools.
Exactly. Right? Mm-hmm. This is something we need to let it sink in. The Husseini movement is very much alive, and today, since you have asked for the manifestation of this movement in today's time, it is more alive than ever. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen.
Right, right.
Bihamdillah, Islam today is more powerful, the pure Muhammadan Islam is more strong, is more in a position to do something for the oppressed than it was ever in the history.
Sure.
Right?
It's true.
And today we are seeing the fruits of this, right? This whole school of thought that we have just tried to explain to you in our own broken words, you know, the pure Muhammadan Islam, this school of thought has become the hope of the oppressed throughout the world today.
Yes.
The school of thought of Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
Right.
They look up to the school of thought, they say, there is this one pure school of thought that is selflessly fighting oppression, raising its voice for the oppressed.
That's exactly, yes.
Now, brother,
selflessly.
See if today we're not doing it, let's say, you know, somebody who calls himself to be Shia is not doing it,
mm-hmm.
are they really part of this movement?
Mm-hmm.
They need to question it.
Introspect.
The imams in all times, they were this icon which is anti-oppression. So in today's language, are you anti-imperialism today?
Yeah.
Are you anti-Zionist today? Are you anti-Takfirism today? If you're not anti these movements, these non-divine movements, then you have to double check whether you are part of that movement or not.
Right. It's interesting, when I had asked you the question originally about this manifestation of the Husseini movement, you know, may Allah bless him, the individual that I had in my mind was Shahid Qasim Soleimani and his very famous statement that we are the nation of Imam Hussein and we are the nation of martyrdom, you know. I guess I'll answer the question in that manner, you know, and you can add to that is how the Islamic Republic of Iran, how the Islamic Revolution led by Imam Khomeini, the foundation, or at least one of the foundations of this Islamic Revolution that Imam Khomeini brought forth was the Husseini Revolution. And I don't think we can even maybe separate these two or differentiate these two, as the Islamic Revolution is something else, Husseini Revolution is something else. Perhaps
this is
the continuation, yeah.
Imam Khomeini himself, like I said, you know, if you have to know the reality of something, go and ask the person who's the in charge, who's making the decisions.
Right.
Why are you doing it? What's your motive? Imam Khomeini himself says, ما هرچه داریم از محرم و سفر داریم. Whatever we have, every single thing we have is from Muharram and Safar. Right? He himself is saying that the inspiration of this movement is from Imam Hussein alayhi salam in Karbala. Right? And then in one place he says, you know, if they sanction us, we are the sons of Ramadan, my Ramadan. Right? And if they threaten us to kill us, we are the sons of Ashura, we are the sons of Karbala. Right? So the founder of the Islamic Revolution, he is informing us. That's one point. Keep that in mind. The second point is that when you talk about the system of Wilayatul Faqih, right? Brother, it is a continuation of that divine movement that we said is a divine movement launched by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, continued through the prophets, then Prophet of Allah, then the infallible Imams, then the Fuqaha. Right? It's the same movement. It's that chain, right?
Right.
Now, this is the extension of that same imama and wilaya that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had sent. Of course, you know, the discussions, the academic discussions are there, how it varies, you know, the imama and wilaya of Imam Ali alayhi salam to Imam Hassan alayhi salam, what are the differences, you know, are there any differences? And then when it comes to the non-infallible, right, non-ma'asumeen, right, how does it vary? The discussion, the academic discussions are there, and we're talking about the tashri'i realm, right? We're talking about just this world. We're not talking about taqween, right? Now, when you talk about Wilayatul Faqih and this tashri'i realm, right, of course it is, in terms of its intensity, it's not even comparable to the governance of the Ma'soom Imam. Yes, we know that. But it is the continuation of that same movement to the extent that we could potentially do in this time and age.
Right.
Right? It is, you can say, like a very abridged version of that same wilaya. It's a very, you know, shortened and concise version. Inshallah, it gets stronger and stronger, as we have seen over the course of 40 years. You know, 40 plus years, the Islamic Revolution came about. And alhamdulillah, you know, it keeps getting stronger day by day. Again, it's I don't want to go on this tangent prove it, but you know, I think the world is seeing it from enemies to friends, you know, to foes and everyone. It's getting stronger, right? The climax of this movement, inshallah, is the reappearance of Imam Zaman alayhi salam.
Yes.
Right? So it will deliver this movement, this Islamic revolution, the system of Wilayatul Faqih, in the interim time, it will deliver as much as it can, as much as the believers support it. But, you know, the climax and the real deal, as we say it, is the reappearance of the Ma'soom Imam. Imam Mahdi Akhir al-Zaman, ajjalallahu ta'ala farajah al-Sharif.
Right, that's going to be the ultimate. You know, Sheikh Ali, so one of the things you had talked about a little bit earlier was this idea that every single one of us, you know, wherever we are on this, you know, small planet, we are a part of the Husseini movement. Of course, if we want to be one, and I guess there are steps in being a part of the Husseini movement. One, you want to be a part of the Husseini movement. And the second thing is you have to do something when you are in this Husseini movement, you know? But all of us, you know, let's say are in this Husseini movement across the world, every single one of us has a role to play, can play a role, you know? And I think people should step up to the plate and find ways that they can be involved in this Husseini movement that we commemorate in these 10 days of Muharram, but of course not limited to these 10 days. I mean, if you'd like to comment on that, on this idea that one, we can, if we want, we can be a part of this Husseini movement, and two, I mean, what do we need to do, even if it's something small, but, you know, some pieces of advice for the friends out there.
Well, I'm no one to advise anyone, but, you know, see, the thing is, this realization that we have mentioned, this realization for which Muharram is being commemorated every year, this realization is essential.
Right.
First, you know, you have to, and all of us have to understand the reality, which is that we are the Shias and the followers of Ahlul Bayt and Ali Muhammad.
Right.
Right? So we're naturally different from those who are not.
Yes.
Let it be Sunnis, let it be non-Muslims, let it be atheists, you know, we're different from them. So this this difference has to be established.
Yeah, what is different about us?
This difference has to be, you know, clearly seen.
Yeah.
Right? If my lifestyle, if the way I'm doing things, if my job, if my everything is no different than a kafir, mm-hmm. from a disbeliever, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. then honestly, have I truly realized Ashura? Have I truly realized the movement of Imam Hussain alayhi salam? Have I truly joined in the camp of Imam Hussain alayhi salam? These are the questions we should be asking ourselves. This realization is the first step, right? Once this realization, which alhamdulillah is materializing for hundreds and thousands of people every year,
right?
You know, throughout the Muharram and throughout the year even, but more so throughout Muharram, our teacher was once saying, sorry for the tangent, he said that there are different doors of heaven, right? And the biggest and the most widest door through which most of the people are going to get into heaven is called Babul Hussein.
Subhanallah.
A beautiful concept, right?
Yeah.
So I smiled because, you know, that thing came to my mind that Imam Hussein alayhi salam is the one and his movement is the one which is going to guide and which is guiding most of the people who come into the folds of Islam and who come towards righteousness. Now, you know, after this realization, you get to the next level where it compels you to be different from those who are not the followers of Ali Muhammad,
right.
who are not Husseini in the true sense of the word.
Right.
They may, you know, have a Muslim name, but they're not following Imam Hussain alayhi salam, right? They're not claiming to be his followers. So where are those differences? You need to identify those differences. If it doesn't have an implication on your life, know that you're not on the path of Imam Hussain alayhi salam. If your life looks like just like the life of disbelievers, you know, and maybe on a Friday you go for a Salatul Jum'ah, or on the 10th of Muharram you go to
the Majalis,
for instance, or the first 10 days of, and if this is the only difference, then you should question whether you have truly joined the movement of Imam Hussain alayhi salam, which is a year-round thing. It is a 365, 24/7 thing. Right? So this is, you know, this has to show. And it shows in different ways, forms and shapes, you know, from your praying on time to your fasting and, you know, so on and so forth, to a point where you are opposing oppression just the way Imam Hussain alayhi salam did.
Sure.
You're speaking up in support of the oppressed, just the way Imam Hussain alayhi salam and the rest of the Imams, of course, today we're talking about Imam Hussain, they did. This has to reflect in your actions.
Yes.
Right? And once it starts reflecting in your actions, then you know you go to the next levels where you feel like, okay, this is not something enough. You know, I remember this feeling back in the day, you know, when we had not come to the Hawza and we were just living in the States and I was working as an engineer. This realization kept growing and I was like, okay, is it that I go out on Yomul Quds and chant a few slogans, you know, hold a banner, you know, and so on and so forth. Is that enough for me to be in the camp of Imam Hussain alayhi salam? Or can I do more?
Yeah.
And then I started questioning. I'm like, I know I can do more. What's holding me back? This whole thought and this whole idea and this whole feeling and this whole realization kept growing over the course of years. I'm like, if I can do more for Imam Hussain alayhi salam and his movement, why am I not doing it? What's stopping me?
Yes.
Right? The question was very simple, right? And it's like, you know, would Imam Hussain alayhi salam want me to do something more for his deen? Of course. So I'm like, okay, let's try next thing, right? You know, you start doing small little things, you know. If you are, let's say, an engineer, software engineer, you know, you can serve in terms of your IT skills, you know, you make websites for Imam Hussain alayhi salam, for this noble movement, right, for in support of revolution. One of the important things is, and I want to come to it separately, if I forget, remind me, you know, that thing. But, you know, if you're
an engineer, you have to tell me what the thing is for me to remind you.
It is because it is basically where to invest your energies.
Okay,
and
sure.
This is where we'll talk about it, right, as the last thing, inshallah. But you look at, if you're an engineer, you know, you could make mobile apps and phone apps and, you know, I don't know, online books, you know, you can right. publish, you can do media work like we're doing, right? So many other things that you can do if you are in, if you're a techie, in other words, right? If you're an author, you know, write something. It could be as simple as, it could be as simple as like, you know, a few paragraphs for Imam Hussein alayhi salam. You know, it could be article. You don't have to necessarily start with a book, right? Because that requires a different level of knowledge and different level of research and academic excellence. But, you know, you can start with something small. You know, write WhatsApp posts.
Exactly. I was just going to say that in a social media age, if you just put a small post about Imam Hussein, you know, who he was, the fact that he was sacrificed.
See, I was coming to that as if you can't do anything.
If you can't do anything else.
This is something that
this is the least you can do.
Your phone is with you all the time.
And
right?
you own it.
You own it, right? And it's very simple. Just express your feelings, your reverence, your love for Imam Hussein alayhi salam. You think about his mission. You mention, you know, the people of Yemen. You mention the people of Iraq, the people of Syria, the people of Afghanistan, you know, the oppressed masses who are going through intense oppression. This is the least we can do for them. And it doesn't take anything. Your 4G, LTE, your internet is on all the time, right? Just open up, and you are on social media. Right. It's just about that frame of mind, that I'm going to do it for Imam Hussein alayhi salam. I'm going to do it, as a matter of fact, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Right.
Who's the creator of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, right?
Sheikh Ali, because there's so many questions that come up in these discussions, and really that's why we kind of love this talk show environment, is because these questions come up quite dynamic and energetically. But here, so two questions that came to my mind. The first one is this idea, when scholars, because a lot of the brothers and sisters that are going to go, they're either going to online go to a sermon or a lecture for 10 days, or online they're going to do. But COVID kind of taught us that perhaps you can do both. You know, why limit yourself to just one or the other? Go to a live majlis and also watch some online majlises as well, right? I mean, people have time as summer vacations for many people across the world. I want to be kind of careful the way I word the question, you know. Do you consider it a disservice I'll put on the question and then you can, you know, answer it the way you want to. But do you consider it a disservice when a speaker, you know, does not bring in this socio-political aspect of Imam Hussein's movement, right? So what we find is, for the most part, as you said, for whatever reason, we tend to stick to the historical aspect. This is what happened, and interestingly, we kind of started the discussion in the same way. This is Imam Hussein, 10th Muharram, he was martyred, you know, he started in Medina, went to Mecca, on his way to Kufa, stopped him in Karbala, and then this person was martyred, and Abbas was martyred, and Ali Akbar was martyred, right? And then in between, we throw some akhlaqi points. Sacrifice is good, worldliness is bad, greed is bad, you know, the hubbud dunya, the love of the dunya will do this to you, you know, and then we also, for example, we say hur, you know, miraculously changed sides, and then Umar ibn Sa'd was bad, why he was bad, Shimr, why he was bad, and you see, this is kind of the circle that we keep it in, you know. Then there's this whole socio-political aspect, you know, the general idea of opposing oppression, of opposing tyrants, whether they are Muslim or non-Muslim, right? We're not just going to specifically say this is this opposition to tyranny and authoritarianism and oppression is limited to the Western world. It's a global phenomenon, just like the movement of Imam Hussein. Whether it's happening in the Muslim world or the non-Muslim world, you know, the idea is this combating of oppression, this socio-political aspect of Imam Hussein's movement. Now, I mean, is it a disservice to my humble opinion, so that maybe I don't put you in the limelight, my personal opinion is that it is a disservice. Because throughout these centuries, we have taken out a very central aspect of Imam Hussein's movement, which has left this very akhlaqi, spiritual, irfan aspect of Imam Hussein. it has not brought in this very fundamental, as I said, socio-political aspect. I mean, if you want to comment on that with
me. I don't see any problem in it, we calling it to be a disservice, right? Because if you look at the seerah of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wasalam, in no times you find them to be indifferent.
Awesome.
Right? They always took position on critical socio-political affairs of the Muslim Ummah. And, you know, it was because they were ma'asoom, yes, but it was something that they also taught us and expected us to do, even if we are non-ma'asoom, right?
Yes.
They did not say that, oh, if you're non-ma'asoom, you can stay indifferent. And since we are ma'asoom, we are going to take position. No. They said, we are taking a position and we expect you, our Shias, to take position as well, no matter what the cost be, right? So yes, it is a disservice, right, if somebody is doing it intentionally. Sometimes, you know, people have not grown intellectually
right.
enough
right. Sure.
to realize what's going on in around them in the world. So, you know, keeping them aside, but, you know, anybody who is doing it intentionally, keeping Muslims unaware of the
right.
situation and plight of other fellow Muslims and generally speaking, oppressed around the globe, they are doing a disservice, let it be from a member or from a chair.
Awesome.
It could be anyone, right?
Right, right.
And the Muballighin of Islam, you know, they have a tabligh to do, and tabligh is a very difficult task.
Sure.
It is not something easy. Tabligh requires you to show the courage, show the basira. It requires you to show the political insight. So I think in a nutshell, we can say that, yes, it is a disservice, right?
Yeah.
And this is where the believers and the mu'mineen have to be careful. They have to know, and this again goes back to the point of realization. They have to
right.
know
right.
and realize what the movement of Imam Hussein alayhi salam is all about. Is it only confined to a few rituals? Is it only confined to gaining thawab? You know, of course the sawab is there, we all know that.
Yes,
but that's an incentive.
Yeah.
Incentive is not a goal.
Right.
It's not a hadaf, right? So what is the hadaf of all these commemorations and all of these majalis and all of these lectures? You know, is it for some people to just go on the minbar, fix a rate for their majalis and
sure.
make money so that they can, you know, live through the rest of the year? Right? What is it? We have to decide what these majalis and what these commemorations mean to us,
right?
Right? And what place do they have in the eyes of Allah, right?
Yes.
So, yes, I think I would
and,
have to agree
and
with
well,
you.
So, right, so here there's another question that, you know, this idea that, well, based upon this, what we think the whole purpose is, right? So you kind of have two, I don't want to call them schools of thought, but two kind of, I don't know, thinking about the thing, right? One is that the whole purpose is the commemoration of the martyrdom itself, the commemoration of the martyrdom, and then the subsequent shedding of tears. This is kind of one aspect. And then the other aspect is this, you know, the mission of Imam Hussein behind this movement. Are these two separate, or can you combine these two? Your humble thoughts.
They can't
on that.
Really be separated, right? Because the mission and the sacrifice of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, let me say it like this, the sacrifice of Imam Hussein alayhi salam only get its meaning if the mission is explained properly.
Right.
Otherwise, it doesn't make sense to take your family, which includes women, which includes children, which includes elderly, and your ashab, which includes all kinds of, you know,
youth and children.
So it doesn't make sense to take 70 some odd people
yeah.
to these plains of Karbala where you know that you're going to be martyred. So unless we realize and understand the mission of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, this is something that becomes, you know, even questionable. And some
right.
of the, you know, non-Muslims have questioned it. Maybe some of the takfiris have questioned it as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, you cannot separate the two, right? But sometimes our people, you know, muballighin, primarily people who go on pulpit, people who go on stage, people who go on mimbar, they have tried to create this third route, you know, where you can be very indifferent about what is going on with the mission of Imam Hussein alayhi salam today, and they just want you to live in the history and in the past. This is because they believe in this whole concept of comfortable tabligh. Comfortable tabligh is, you know, which is not challenging the status quo by any means. So for instance, if you see LGBT issue in the community, you shy away from talking about it.
Right.
And we know of examples and instances. We get contacted by different, you know, friends and brothers, and they're living in the West, you know, living in the US, and they're saying, you know, the Maulana would not even say a word about this issue of LGBT. On the other hand, you look at the agenda of the enemy. They keep pushing LGBT as if it's something, you know,
righteous
in the Holy Scripture or something,
it's
right?
In the Bible or something.
It's like, come on, right? The enemy is hell-bent on pushing it in your academia, in your movies, in your cartoons, in your, I don't know, these school bags and stationeries and your books and copies, you know, everything, you know, everywhere on your notebooks, you know, they're promoting that culture through artwork. And social media is like, social media ke dige iftizai, as we say, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It's full of all this stuff. They're pushing it as an agenda, but the resident Maulana wouldn't want to talk about it.
Right.
The visiting Maulana wouldn't want to talk about it. They go on to the member, they do their thing, which has nothing to do with the on-ground issues of the Muslim Ummah, of the Muslim community.
Yeah.
And then they come back with their paycheck in some cases, right? By the way, you know, we should put a disclaimer, which I thought would be appropriate,
sure.
And it was given and should have been assumed, but we will still spell it out that not all the muballighin. We're not talking about everyone.
Yeah, no,
Alhamdulillah, we've got too many
not.
Sincere, senior scholars and muballighin, our peers, and you know, who go for tabligh, and they're trying to be sincere in their efforts, and they're trying to address these issues. We're talking about that one particular mindset and crowd which is disconnected from the reality on the ground.
Right.
And they are so hell-bent on disconnecting Imam Hussein alayhi salam from the reality on the ground, they don't want to apply those principles that Imam Hussein alayhi salam applied to rectify the ummah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to control the deviation that was being created. You know, today, those scholars or those people, as Imam Khomeini used to call them, alim numa, alim numa, right? That they are like pseudo ulama, right?
Pseudo scholars.
Right. So they are there, right? And one of the ways to recognize who they are is you look at how concerned are they about the affairs of the Muslim Ummah, right? Because we have a hadith, man asbaha walam yahtamma bi amur al muslimin. فَلَيْسَ بِمُسْلِمٍ
فَلَيْسَ
بِمُسْلِمٍ Somebody gets up in the morning, right, and is not concerned about, and this is talking about any somebody. It's not talking about here about scholars or muballighin or mimbaris, no. Anybody, man asbaha, anybody who does his morning, وَلَمْ يَحْتَمَّ and does not get concerned and do ihtamam about the affairs of the Muslim ummah, فَلَيْسَ بِمُسْلِمٍ Right, أُمُورِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ the affairs of the Muslims, is not a Muslim. Right, so this is one easy way to identify those people who are not doing the service to Islam, and in fact, in some cases, they are doing disservice to Islam.
Right, you know, because one of the things just connecting to this is, so we have Sayyid Hashim al-Haydari in Iraq, right, and so he has on multiple occasions, as well as Sayyid Hassan Nasrullah from in Lebanon. Both of them have connected the war against Yemen and the condition in Yemen with Karbala. It's interesting. So they'll say that today's Karbala is Yemen, or today's Ashura can be seen in Yemen. And you know, this seems to be a direct connection to what we're talking about. These scholars, these esteemed scholars, are directly making a connection between the Husseini movement and the reality on the ground.
See, if we take Karbala of Imam Hussein alayhi salam as a story of the history, as something that happened in history, and we're just reading a history book like a story, it could be, you know, historical story of even a non-Muslim, just like that. You know, you're just reading it, then of course you don't see a connection. But if you believe in that Imam Hussein alayhi salam's battle was against the batil, it was haq against batil. It was not Hussein against Yazid, no. It was haq against batil. It was righteousness against falsehood, right? If it was good against evil, right? Then that war is still continuing.
Yes.
You know, injustice is, that some people do is that they bury Imam Hussein alayhi salam's movement
along with his body.
Along with his body.
1,400 years ago.
And this is not something that Sayyida Zainab salamu alayha taught us. This is not something that Imam Sajjad alayhi salam taught us. They continued that movement. Mm-hmm. They should have left Imam Hussein alayhi salam and his movement in, on the plains of Karbala. No. No. They continued that movement.
In the most difficult times.
Difficult times in the most, you know, suffocating times, I should say.
Right.
You know, where they were, you know, Imam Hussein, before the event of Karbala took place, Imam Hussein alayhi salam, you know, his stature was different. Look at after Karbala, just after a few days.
Yeah.
Imam Sajjad alayhi salam's stature, I don't even want to paint a picture here.
Right.
You know, with chains in his hand, and this is the grandson of Holy Prophet. This is the Imam of the time. This is the Wali of the time. The stature changed completely. The appearance changed. Yet, even in that suffocating time, they did not give up on the movement of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And throughout the history, alhamdulillah, we've got tons of examples. We've got tons of ongoing examples even today. Like you talked about Shaheed Qasim Soleimani, and I 100% agree. In today's time and age, you know, he is the manifestation of that Karbalai movement. Because of Shaheed Qasim Soleimani, you are able to go to Ziyarat today.
Yes, without a doubt.
Right? Arbaeen is going to come, Ashura is going to come, people are going to go for Ziyarat. But unfortunately, you know, many people don't even know. They don't know the fact that it is because of the likes of Shaheed Qasim Soleimani.
And Abu Mahdi al-Muhandis, that they can go to Arbaeen and they can go to Sham and the Ziyarat of Lady Zainab. Right.
They don't realize that these personalities who provided you with the opportunity of keeping your Ziyarat alive, they are subservient to Imam Khamenei.
Yeah.
And then you hear about this talk about Muqassir and this and that.
Yes, they were completely subservient and following the orders of Imam Khamenei. Right.
So you look at the role of our Islamic leadership today and the fuqaha of Islam, and you know, you do see that their actions and their teachings and their preachings, they're in line with the teachings and preachings of Imam Hussein alayhi salam and the rest of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wasalam.
Yes.
Why? Because the movement is alive. It is still alive and it's going to stay alive.
Right.
We're all waiting for the 12th Imam to come,
right?
Because the movement is still alive.
Yes, yes. And you know, it's interesting. I'm not really going to discuss because we are kind of going towards the end of the program and we already kind of went over the program as well. But this is this sermon that Imam Hussein alayhi salam has in Mina, and he is addressing scholars. Really, I would suggest the brothers and sisters to try to find that. I hope, inshallah, if Allah gives us the tawfiq, we'd like to release parts of that sermon on Islamic Pulse as well. So the brothers and sisters should look forward to that as well. But really, this sermon towards scholars, I encourage not just the scholars, I encourage everybody as an individual. Right? So don't think that, oh, this is addressed to scholars, it has nothing to do with me. It very specifically has to do with scholars, but it applies to every single individual. And when you read this this sermon of Imam Hussein, the brothers and sisters will find out what it is I'm talking about. But I kind of wanted to end the talk show with that question that you wanted me to remind you, which was that where should we concentrate our efforts? Well, especially in these 10 days of Muharram, where we will be commemorating Imam Hussein, and then all the way up to the 20th of Safar, where we will commemorate Arba'een, but not just limiting it, to these 40 days plus, But to the rest of the year, where should we concentrate our efforts, Sheikh Ali Qumi?
So there's this beautiful concept that the leader of the Muslim Ummah, Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei, he discusses, and it is the concept of infaq, right? And I'm going to answer your question with the help of this. He says that infaq is not just giving anything in the way of Allah. You know, sometimes we think that, oh, if I'm done with this abah, let's say, I'm just going to give it to someone, you know, someone who needs it, and that's infaq, you know,
sure,
because I'm done with it. It's too old, right? He says, no, this is not necessarily the Quranic infaq. The Quranic infaq is when you identify the vacuums in the society and you fill those vacuums. Now, this action of you filling that vacuum
is infaq.
So, in other words, if we take this concept and we come to the movement of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, you look at the things that are already being done, the good things that are already being done. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, mu'mineen are performing them. All the good things that in your books, they are good, you know, just check mark. This is being performed, this is being performed, this is being performed. And then look for the things that are not being performed at large. And you see that there's a vacuum. Start filling those vacuums. You know, this is for every single one of us. You know, let it be scholar or non-scholar. Let it be Hosevi or university student. Let it be a working professional or somebody who doesn't even have a job. It is for every single one of them. This is the concept of Quranic infaq.
Yes.
Right? So look at the movement of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Look at the things and places and areas where you see there to be a vacuum. And fill that vacuum.
MashaAllah.
Right? So this is where you need to concentrate your energies. Unfortunately, in many cases we see that duplication of work is being done. Mm-hmm. Same thing over and over again, you know, people are repeating them, you know, groups being created over small little, you know, rifts or issues or ego problems or even misunderstandings, miscommunications, right? And both the groups or all three or four groups, they're doing the same work.
Right.
Well, this is counterproductive in some cases, and to say the least, is non-productive in most of the cases.
Yeah.
Make yourself to be the productive and effective part of the movement of Imam Hussein alayhi salam.
Mm-hmm. MashaAllah.
Right? Identify those vacuums, and yes, they're going to be difficult to fill in, because it's not easy to, if it were easy, people would have already been doing it. Right? So, step up to the challenge. You know, seek, do tawassul with Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wassalam. You know, seek tawassul through Imam Hussein alayhi salam and ask Allah for that strength that you require to carry out that job.
Right.
You know, I remember like when we entered the media work and whatnot, you know, there was not much help. Nobody was doing it.
Yes.
Right? Very few people here and there, that too, not very organized efforts, right? But Alhamdulillah, you know, Allah gave us the tawfiq, you know, the brothers the tawfiq to carry out difficult tasks.
Yeah.
And, you know, get into the learning phase of filling in those vacuums. That's another thing, right? Equip yourself and empower yourself to fill in those vacuums. Just having good intention is not enough.
Right.
If a task requires expertise, establish them, acquire them, gain them, right? Just having good intention and trying to fill this vacuum, again, it will become like a sawab machine.
Right.
You're not in it for sawab only. You're in it so it gets done. And if it requires that level of expertise, learn it. You know, if it's a new tech stack, new technology that you need to pick up on, you know, pick it up.
Excellent. Sheikh Ali Qumi, it wasn't really a good question to end, so I'm going to ask you one more question to end the program, and that is, I kind of leave it up to you, an open-ended type, not even specific question, right? But with the coming of Muharram in the next few days, you know, that gives us a couple of days to think and reflect, and then to attend the morning ceremonies, where we commemorate the martyrdom and the mission of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Just kind of one quick piece of advice to these people, because in our studies we have seen that there are certain moments in time, you know, where people can dramatically change from one side to the other. We brought up Hur in the beginning of the program and how this is what we talk about without taking that lightly at all. You know, we understand that the holy month of Ramadan or the day of Arafah or, you know, Muharram Arba'een, the 10th of Muharram, these days are days where an individual can dramatically change from one side, from the side of falsehood, to the side of truth.
These are the days of revolution, revolution
yeah,
too.
I want your piece of advice for the brothers and sisters out there.
Well, like I mentioned before, you know, I'm a very small, humble student, not in a position to advise anyone, but what we have gathered from our teachers and what we have gathered from, you know, our studying of the ulama, and especially the leader of the Muslim Ummah, brothers and sisters, never consider yourself to be weak. You know, apparently, sometimes you may see that the enemy is too strong, the enemy that you are up against or who is conspiring against you is too strong. Seemingly and apparently it may look like that. You take yourself to Karbala and stand in the ranks of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Look at the enemy. You had hundreds of and thousands of, you know, armed people, equipped people, and over here, even if you count Ali Asghar alayhi salam, you are in 70s.
And no water.
No water, no, you know, arms, no nothing.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's very natural that you get intimidated. You get overwhelmed. You feel that, you know, the enemy is going to overcome you no matter what. But remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with His righteous servants. He makes sure that the enemy never does the ghalaba over you.
Never takes over.
Never.
Overpowers you.
He can never. Even look at Karbala. That's how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us. And there are other examples that I don't have time to get into. You look at Hazrat Nuh. You look at, you know, all the prophets. Right? Seemingly they were weak. They didn't have the necessary retaliation capability in the face of this ruthless enemy. Look at Israel and Hezbollah.
Yeah.
Everybody knows.
Israel
on the surface level, you can't even
the most
compare.
Expensive military rocket
exactly.
After the United States and
right?
These guys.
It's a military garrison, right? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the victory to
the Hezbollah.
The believers. Makaru wa makar Allah, wallahu khairul makirin. So remember, never get intimidated because of the hujum of the enemy, because of their, you know, seemingly
relentless and powerful onslaught.
Exactly.
Okay.
And if you, just last point.
Sure.
Right.
Okay.
And if you want to turn towards Quran and you look at what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has advised us, right? You were asking for advice. Let's say what our Creator has advised us. He says in Quran, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وَلَمَّا رَأَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الْأَحْزَابِ When they saw, when the mu'mineen saw the ahzab, the gangs, the forces of the army, of the enemy. وَلَمَّا رَأَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الْأَحْزَابِ قَالُوا هَذَا مَا وَعَدَنَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ What did the mu'mineen say? They said that this is exactly what Allah and His Messenger had informed us about, had promised us about.
That this is going to happen.
This
when
is
you
going
stand
to
with truth and justice, the enemies will come against you.
If you're truly the believers, the enemy is going to come towards you and against you, right? And then Quran says that these mu'mineen said, this is exactly what Allah and His Messenger had promised us. And what it did in return is, the verse continues, it increased in their iman and their taslim, in their faith and in their submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Ascent.
This is what mu'mineen do. This is what Ahle Karbala did.
Yeah.
Hazrat Zainab salamu alayha says, Ma ra'aytu illa jameela. I have not seen anything other than beauty. Subhanallah, right? Their submission and their iman increases in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when they go through tribulations, when they go through difficult times.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Never get intimidated. Keep your chin up And inshallah, you are victorious.
Inshallah.
Fa'inna Hezbollah humil ghalibun.
Thank you. Jazakallah khair, Sheikh Ali Qumi, for joining us on the Islamic Pulse Talk Show. It was really an honor to be able to discuss these things with you before the onset of the blessed month of Muharram. And dear viewers, thank you very much for joining us on the Islamic Pulse Talk Show. Definitely, it was an honor for all of us to discuss these beautiful matters in the presence of every single one of you. In the holy month of Muharram, in these mourning and commemoration ceremonies where we commemorate, of course, the martyrdom and the mission of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, may Allah accept all of your worship and all of your ceremonies and all of your ibadat in this time. Please remember to pray for us as well, and may Allah accept all of your azadari, inshallah, until another Islamic Pulse Talk Show. Fi amanillah, and assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.